So the title of my talk today is Removing Obstacles to Connecting with Intention. And you see the seven phases of intention, because it's really seven. I just made up that it was eight thousand.
Creativity, kindness, love, beauty, expansion, unlimited abundance, receptivity.
Those are our seven phases of intention that we talked about last week.
So sometimes we feel like we're not experiencing all of these.
Correct? Anybody ever feel that? It's me. So what do we need to do to remove obstacles to connecting with any one of these intentions or all of them? Well, Wayne Dyer plays the match game. Match, no match.
And I just threw that in there because it was cute and I like cute, you know.
He's a kid, you're no match for me. So we're going to play the match game, match, no match. Ready? So the first part that we look at always is our inner speech, because that's first and foremost where we're connecting in with the divine. So one of our things is we're thinking about what we think is missing in our lives. So tell me which one is the match with intention. I don't have enough money, or I intend to attract unlimited abundance into my life. Number two.
Intend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was a little bit of a clue.
Yeah. We'll start off with easy ones.
Right. So give me one. Give me one. What about something that's missing in your life? What is the way your ego might say that? Anybody have anything that's missing in their life?
No.
All right. So what is the way that your ego says that?
Ego says that because he doesn't realize that he is, he or she is love. He's missing, that's what he's not.
So I don't have enough love?
So the ego's saying, I don't have enough. Well, are you ego, I'm not worthy of love, or not?
Okay, so I'm not worthy of love. So how would, if we wanted to change that so that it is about connecting up with our intention, we would say, I am worthy of being loved, right? Or I intend to attract the perfect love into my life. To paraphrase the same thing.
I would work on myself until I am
You already are.
You already are, but it's a way of convincing yourself.
Right.
There's things you can do to
it. Right.
Yeah, but you're still going to be recognizing your worthiness to start with.
Right, then you can say these are the processes that I'm going to practice so that I recognize and remember that I am worthy. So, thinking about the circumstances of your life. I hate the place that we are living in. It gives me the creeps. Or, I can see our new home in my mind. I intend to be living in it within 6 months. That could be our church home. Not that this place gives me the creeps. So which one is more aligned with intention? Number two.
Right.
So,
we already did it for our colleague. We already got that.
Yeah, we pretty much described it before we left LA.
Yeah.
And you had an intention.
Manifested it.
And you manifested it. And it didn't happen right the moment you got off the plane. It took a little bit of time.
6 months.
Yeah, but it happened. So sometimes we need to know that you had the appearance of not being able to avoid it.
Yes.
That was not the truth. Because we have what? Thank you. See, this is what we need to do. We need to really watch our inner speech. It's because the ego just gets in this little hamster wheel. And you say, no, I'm standing in this firmness, and then the hamster wheel goes, hey, blah, 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 blah. So we gotta get out of the hamster wheel.
Right?
And that takes intention and it takes awareness. And standing firm, like Dennis Merritt Jones wrote about in that wonderful reading. So, give me a circumstance in your life.
what is a Negro phrase for some circumstance in your life that you would like to see changed? It's okay, it's confidential between the four of us. No, it's not. Something you don't mind having on the recording. You could go there. In your Facebook friend.
Nobody ever listens.
Okay. So how can we change that into an intention? I intend to speak so clearly and succinctly that I am easily and effortlessly heard, or I am surrounded by people who listen.
That's better.
Okay.
Well, people seem not to be listening, but because they're fighting, they want to assert their own independence. But the message is getting through, and they will come around to understanding it in the fullness of time.
So a little more clarity and focus is good.
Yeah.
And that may be the current physical reality.
Yeah.
But a clarity, you want to be as clear and succinct as possible when you're shifting from ego to standing firmly in spirit. So I'm surrounded with people who hear what I have to say. Did you have anything? Contribute to this one. Wealth and prosperity in unlimited abundance. So which is the match for intention? Number two. Well, you made it easier to go. But how many have ever been in some kind of ego with hamster wheel, like the first one? I mean, we had parents who survived the Great Depression. They were definitely in that, and we inherited that. Yeah, there were shortages in the war, too, World War II. I hear about the shortages of World War II and the scarcity of World War II. Then we had a little boom in the 50s, and then... but that's just a physical reality. It's not the truth. The truth is there is an unlimited abundance. Therefore, I intend to attract wealth and prosperity in that unlimited abundance. So what is something that's always been for you? That your ego says, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way. This is the ego, not the truth that you know. You have one.
I apologize. It's a relationship in my life, so it tells me.
Ah, that's a good one. So every time I get into a relationship, I get left behind. I'm abandoned. A lot of us have abandonment issues. So how can we change that? What do we want? What is our intention? So
attract my lifelong partner. How does that feel?
Good.
And then keep that lifelong partner.
Right? It worked for them.
All right. Thinking about what they want for you. So there's a few here. I make myself sick trying to please everyone. Anybody relate to that one? I'm so annoyed with my family, they just don't understand me. They never have and never will. That's why we're all in New God. I love my family, they don't see things my way, but I don't expect them to.
Whoa.
For nothing. I am totally focused on my own intentions and I send them love. I am on purpose in doing what I signed up to do in this lifetime. So, which ones are intentions?
The last.
I love my family, they don't see things my way, but I don't expect them to. I'm totally focused on my own intentions and send them up. I'm on purpose and doing what I signed up to do in this lifetime. So the first one is sending love and forgiveness. And the second one is, yeah, never mind, I'm focused here. So whichever one works for you, and maybe it's not an issue for you. When I first got into religious science, my family thought it was a little strange. And they thought I was a little strange. They always thought I was a little strange.
My best friend was a friend talking, she and her husband were talking about kidnapping me to deprogram.
But when I let go of trying to convince them, you know, that I was on the right and perfect path for me, then they finally saw that I was okay. It was okay. Even though I have one sister who still doesn't get how I can be a minister. They accept me as I am. But I had to let go of any expectation and wanting them to be different. And then eventually I'm like, at a family gathering, I was like, you're all starting to sound like me. And part of that is because it is in the mainstream culture more, which helps, but it's also that, you know, they feel the energy. I've lifted up the energy sometimes, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. So does anybody have one of these that they want to share? Anybody feel like there's someone or something? It doesn't have to be a person or a family, it could be an organization, what they want.
I remember telling our daughter and her boyfriend that around 1980, I was 25 and free, and my parents were 60-ish and cautious, and now it's my turn to be 60 and cautious, and their turn to be 25 and free, and that's why we're having, it's not just us, it's everybody goes through these stages, and that's part of why we aren't, you know, we don't understand each other, so we're going free as well. That's one of the things that we have to work around.
So what would your intention be around that?
I intend to remember their needs to be free, even as I have at their stage of life.
Good. That's good. I like that one, right? Okay.
Free with our stuff, though. I don't know.
Solid mass, you know, this is energy, but it's also solid mass. It is a table, we see the table. The table does exist, although in the Course in Miracles lesson it says it doesn't. Sound is the
second level of energy. It's invisible. They're invisible waves, and yet we can feel sound.
Oh, yeah. We heard that. We felt that sound.
Right? And deaf people, that's what they do, is they go up to something that's vibrating with the sound, and they can sense the sound.
Even get close to it. They don't have to touch. They just get close to it.
The third level of energy is light. Low energy with base of high energy, there's an automatic conversion. Then what they're talking about here is the color is the spectrum of light. When you bring one color up to another color, it converts to another color. It doesn't remain either color. It becomes a new color. So when we do energy healing with light, it changes the energy. Thoughts, again, higher frequencies nullify lower. That's why we say that the trained mind is more powerful than the untrained mind, because we all have millions of thoughts all day long, every day. When we have a trained mind, even though we may have a lot of thoughts that are junk, we have those nuggets of gold. And the more we can focus on the nuggets of gold, the more we can shift the energy. Whereas the person who doesn't have that capability of finding the nuggets of gold, they're going to stay in a very low vibration of energy because they're just going to be in the hamster wheel with no way out. So we're already ahead of the game. Remember that. And then the fifth one is the level of spirit, which is those creative qualities of light, which go back to the seven qualities of intention. So this is a quote from Max Planck. He was a Nobel Prize physicist. He said, "There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particles of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." I love it when the scientists agree with us. So, raising your energy level. Don't use weakening energies employed by those around you. Don't let yourself get sucked down in. Other people can't bring you down if you're operating at higher energy. And I wish some of the people who are empaths were here today to hear this, because this is such a challenge for those of us who are empaths. Because we feel your energy. We know what's going on. I will often get a physical ache or pain that I know is not mine, because I'm feeling someone else's. So when I didn't know how to deal with it, I would just be caught up in it. I would go to the person and I'd go, you must be having this issue because I'm feeling it, so how can we resolve it? So I had some awareness, but I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't know Tung Lin, and I probably wasn't ready for it back then. But the gift, actually, of feeling it is that you can transmute it, because you are already operating, vibrating at a higher energy. So don't let yourself get sucked down into the pain and the angst of the people around you. Instead, go, wow, I'm really feeling the disturbance of energy here, and I want to lift it up. It's our job as people who are aware to lift it up, not to get sucked down into it. So if you feel the lower energies of those around you are bringing you down, it's because you're joining them at their energy levels instead of lifting them up. So we have a mini program to raise our energy vibrations. And sometimes we've allowed ourselves to get sucked down into it. We've got caught up in the politics game or the religion debate or just society in general, or like I said, those people that are just around us, because we are bombarded by it all the time. Become conscious of your own thoughts. Make the shift to a higher thought. So you are raising the bar before you even walk out the door of your house or your bedroom, if you live with other people like I do. You become conscious of your thoughts and you make that shift to a higher thought and you raise the bar. You make meditation a regular practice because meditation is listening to the divine within. It doesn't matter how long you meditate. If you meditate for 5 minutes, of course there was the 1 minute meditator, remember him? I think 5 minutes is a good place to start though, because you've had enough time to really be in the quiet. And expand it the more you can. I know when I am doing the rituals with oneness, they talk about 7 minutes. Do it, because 7 is the number of completion. So start with 7 minutes and then try to increase it to 14 and then 21. But make it a regular practice. And all it really has to be is just sitting and being quiet and conscious of your breath. I know I always have people who come to me and say, well, I can't sit still long enough to meditate. Well, then do a walking meditation. Do a dancing meditation. All it really is really connecting in and being focused. Okay.
I got to tell you now, H1 turns into Farrington. You go past the set and say the next street is Maha.
Okay. So, be conscious of the foods that you eat. If after you eat you feel weak, lethargic, and fatigued, you're eating foods that contribute to a low energy system. So, I love this picture because this is me. Sometimes I really want the chocolate cake instead of the beautiful salad. So can you stay in a high vibration and eat the chocolate cake? That's the question. Retreat from low energy substance, drugs, and alcohol. I think that's a no-brainer. Become conscious of the energy level of the music you listen to or are forced to listen to. He and Wayne Dyer actually gives an example of his son, when his son was 16 and discovered rap, and all of a sudden there was this god-awful sound in Wayne Dyer's house that was not congruent with the energy that Wayne Dyer wanted to be in. So he brought his son over and he did kinesiology with him. He had a beautiful, ripe, organic papaya, and he put that to his heart, and he could not put the boy's arm down. And then he said, just bring the CD of the music you're listening to, and we'll do the same thing. He put that to his heart, and the boy's arm went right down, which means that his energy was good. So he didn't have to give him a long lecture. He could see that. So to cultivate higher vibrational energy, choose music that reflects your higher self and your intention. Anymore, in my car, I just have chanting kirtan type CDs. That's all that plays in my car. And so I'm always happy wherever I go. Reduce exposure to low energy of commercial and cable television. And Wayne Dyer says that this is one of the reasons why he's committed to doing those PBS specials, not just because it's a good way to market his book, but because he wants to contribute to something positive on television. So I really respect that. Enhance your energy field with positive, happy photographs and art. So if you've ever seen the walls in my bedroom, it's just spiritual art, a couple pieces. I have one painting that my grandma did when I was a little girl of it was a Hummel, I don't know if you remember the Hummel figurine. It was a Hummel figurine, and the little girl had red hair, which I did when I was little. So to her, that was a picture of me. It was a way to express how she felt about me and how she saw me in this little Hummel figurine that she painted as being on the grass, you know, with the sky. So that's very near and dear to me because my grandma painted it, and even though it's a Hummel figure, it's really a picture of me. And then I have my other two paintings of my soul, and then all these religious icons. and that's what covers, and then one photograph that my granddaughter did. So that's what my room is like. So I'm surrounded by it. Be conscious of the energy levels of others around you. Of course, you want to raise your energy level by being with others who resonate spiritual consciousness and stop spending much time with those who bring you down. And that's one of the things that we always tell people when they first come into our teaching, is that you might need new friends. And they do that too when you go into AA or NA or whatever, because those friends are the friends who got you there in the first place. You need new friends. You need friends who will support you in this new way of thinking. Sometimes maybe you need new roommates too. And if you can't get some new roommates, then you have to be really conscious around the roommates you've got and remember to keep your energy level raised up. So I have a situation right now where we're just over one of the roommates and her drama, and we've just said enough. It's like, if you want to continue to be in that drama, well, we can't stop you. But we don't want to hear about it anymore. We don't want to be involved in it anymore. We're done. So we're declaring that we are raising the situation into a higher energy vibration. And she can choose to join us or not. And to me, that's like the kindest thing I can do. She came in all in tears one night, and it happened to be the day 9 people were shot in Charleston, and I said, can we put this in perspective?
Yeah.
And she said, so what I'm going through isn't as important? And I said, well, I guess that's for you to decide. And then the drama continues, and then we're just like, yeah, we're over it. Thank you. Monitor your activities and where they take place. And of course, Wayne Dyer is thinking about, are you going out to the sports bar to watch the game with the guys? Well, what's going on around you? You know, or even like, I love to go dancing. And I was never much of a drinker. My husband died because of alcohol. So I wasn't a big drinker before he died, but after he died, it was pretty much not really at all. But I love to dance, and I wanted to meet people who love to dance. And back then, the only place I knew where to do that was a nightclub, a bar, where you're surrounded by people who are really drunk and smell bad.
But drinking
7-Up. But now there's so many more opportunities. I can dance in my living room, of course. But there's places where I can go and dance spiritual dances. So, and there may have been those kind of places, but I didn't know about it. Not about that. Extend acts of kindness, asking for nothing in return. And he tells this wonderful story about the little boy. I've heard the story before, but he tells this wonderful story about the little boy who is so excited. He's in first grade, and it's going to be Valentine's Day. And he wants to give a Valentine to every single one of his classmates. So he has his mom help him to write down the names of all the classmates. He goes over and over again to make sure he hasn't forgotten anybody. There's 37 of them. So over the weeks, he's very carefully and painstakingly making an individual Valentine for each one of those children, and probably the teacher too. And it just really consumes him. So he's not outside playing with these friends and the classmates. He's working on this for them. And mom makes him some Valentine cookies to take as well. So on Valentine's Day, he finally trots off with his 37 very individually made Valentines and his little bag of heart-shaped cookies, and he's so excited. And mom starts to worry, you know, because he's made one for everybody in the class. what if he doesn't get any or doesn't get very many? Oh, he's going to be so disappointed and so hurt. And so mom is worrying about this all day long. And the little boy comes home and he goes, I didn't forget anybody. Everyone in my class had a Valentine for me. He only had one Valentine and he didn't care. Because his mission was to make sure everyone got one. And he got one, so
that was good.
That was good.
Yeah. You can only all be that.
Right.
Open and loving.
Yes. Be specific when you affirm your intentions and create your desires. Write them out and put them in strategic places. Read them out loud at every opportunity. When I was in practitioner class, my teacher said, don't just write out your spiritual mind treatments. Read them out loud, because the power of your voice adds to it. So with affirmations, I used to put them all around my house, in my car, on the dashboard, everywhere, and then read them. The refrigerator door is a very good place, because you can't open that refrigerator door without seeing it. Now, how often do we open the refrigerator door? More often than we should.
True.
As frequently as possible, practice forgiveness to everyone and everything. So the next area is your self-importance. Is it a match or no match? When it's about our ego, it's a no match. With the self as the focal point, we sustain the illusion that we are our bodies, a separate entity from others. This sense of separation and separateness leads us to compete rather than cooperate. And we really see that in the job places. You know, instead of working together, we are individuals trying to, you know, be better than the other. When I was at Macy's before, we used to have a really good team. And we worked together to make sure we all reached our goal and everything. And then that team sort of fell apart. And so now we're trying to build it back up. And there's one person in particular who is not a team player. And I've just decided I can't change her, so all I can do is wrap her up in love. And it'll be what it'll be. So here's the 7 steps to overcoming the ego's hold. The first one is to stop being offended. We often get offended by the littlest things. Somebody cuts us off in the freeway or gets in front of us in line. How dare they? Or they say something, not even directly to us, but if we're a person who is for the underdog, we get offended for the underdog. Me. Let go of your need to win. It's like, I want to be first. Let go of your need to be right. I learned that one from the Course in Miracles many, many years ago. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Always would rather be happy. Let go of your need to be superior, better than. Let go of your need to have more. We live in a have more society here in the West. And it's not just material things, it's just the have more, whatever. But it's often the material thing. And, you know, places like Macy's thrive on that. Need to have more, you know. And I watch people buying so much stuff because it's on sale and they have a coupon. And oh my gosh, I have to buy more so that I can make the coupon work. We literally have a box of candy bars on the counter. Because we know that if you only need a couple dollars to make your $25 coupon work, you will buy that candy bar.
Oh, you bet.
That you don't need.
Right.
But it's a wonderful excuse to buy a candy bar. I admit that. Because you got to make $25, darn it. Because then you save 10 or whatever.
Whatever.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'll buy a $3 candy bar so I can save $10.
Yeah.
You know, and so they thrive on that kind of thinking. And then the people go home and they go, why did I buy all this stuff? And they return it.
Right.
So then they can buy more. of other things.
We're just such an acquisitive person. That's that the country has become this
panic.
Yeah. It's here. Bigger. It has its purposes and it has its
limits. Too much
let go of identifying yourself by your achievements. Like, oh, you know, I have all these degrees after my name. Or, yeah, I was Associate of the Week. So what?
Yes.
Next week someone else is the Associate of the Week, right? Great, you know. Celebrate everybody. Let go of your reputation. I think for some of us, that's a really tough one. And again, and I think especially in Western society, but I've seen it in other cultures as well. And when you get up there in society, you have a reputation. You have to uphold that reputation.
I guess it works better when you don't. When nobody knows who you are.
Right.
Excellent.
Right. Osho talks about that. You're better off without that reputation. You walk quietly in the world. You can change more that way, vibrationally. So, our staying on track for this week is to monitor our inner dialogue. And how are we going to do that? By paying attention, being aware. Light in the moments of doubt and depression. Remember to be faithful to the light. So you're going to bring the doubt and depression into the light and raise it up. Be aware of low energy within yourself or around you. If it's around you, move. Leave them. Leave the area. If it's yourself, do what you got to do to raise your energy. Talk to your ego. Let it know it has no control over you. It's just the stuff that happened. It's just the story. That was one of the things I learned in nonviolent communication. Was it's just a story I'm telling myself. It has no reality. This is just a story I'm telling myself. The ego is having fun telling stories. It's not the truth. Choose a new story. View obstacles as opportunities to circulate the power of your unbending intent. So you can see clearly now.
Yeah, stepping stone.
Absolutely. But you want to maintain the unbending intent. All right. And then we have a quote, which I actually finally did print out.
Yeah. When you walk across the fields with your mind pure and holy, then from all the stones and all groaning things and all animals, the sparks of their soul come out and cling to you, and then they are purified and become a holy fire in you.
That's the one Wayne Dyer says to say every day. To be in that space of creativity, passion. All right. Shall we quickly pray for others?